If there's a new development in tech, he's on it. The Tech Report with Stephen Ambrose.
Stephen, you're back with us.
I'm back with you.
Okay, so you were telling us just before you got Skype shedded, that
I got Skype shed, yeah.
that there are some things that we should be looking out for in regards to the load shedding.
Well, the first and most important thing, I suggest that, and this is just a purely practical suggestion, I think that everybody should have on hand a prepaid SIM with some emergency funds on it on the other network to your main network. So, for example, if you're an MTN subscriber, have a Vodacom SIM and vice versa. And I suggest that you have a Vodacom or MTN SIM in preference to any other Cell C or Telkom for one simple reason. The main problem that these networks have stage four load shedding. You are load shedding practically every 8 hours. The batteries on the various towers take between 6 and 12 hours to recharge. So if there's 2 or 3 days concurrent load shedding like we've been having, you'll find that by the end of the second day, the batteries are not lasting as long as they should, between 3 and 4 hours. And towards the end of load shedding, you're probably finding that suddenly you've got no network connection and lots of reasons at night, and they're load shedding in the early hours of the morning. It's just useful to have a prepaid SIM on it doesn't matter what phone, just for emergency purposes, to make phone calls, to stay in touch with loved ones, to call an Uber if you're out and about, because we are seeing, the networks are reporting that they're having outages all over the show. They're totally random. No one actually knows when they're going to hit. You could drive through an area with perfect signal into an area with no signal. And it's really due to the fact that there's no way for the networks to manage this extended level of load shedding. Hopefully we never get back to level 6, because that would probably mean between 10 and 12 hours of no power a day, which is absolutely beyond my comprehension. So that's the sort of first practical thing. The second thing, I honestly recommend that everybody gets an inexpensive, they have somewhere between 700 and 1,000 rand UPS to put on your TV and any other sensitive electronic gear. Because the problem is, when you turn on an entire suburb, there's potential, as we've seen in Bryanston, for the substation to blow up from the sheer inrush of current. But on a much smaller scale, the same thing happens at your home. Everything comes on at once. There's a potential rush of power. It has an unintended consequence of damaging delicate electronic equipment. And TVs and DSTV little boxes tend to have very small power supplies. They really can't deal with big inrushes of power. Fridges and the more, you know, lights to some extent can handle it, but to change light bulbs, not the end of the world. But to have to replace the power supply on your TV is a little expensive. At the least, what I also recommend, if a UPS is perhaps not something you want to buy, you can get power surge plugs. They're green. You can pick them up at Pick and Pay pretty much anywhere. And I would suggest, again, all of those get put onto the plugs of sensitive equipment, your TV sets, your computers, whatever is somewhat sensitive in the home, put a little power surge plug on. And they've got little devices internally which absorb a big power surge up to, I think, 1,500 volts, which is entirely possible, and stop them from destroying your equipment. So
does that include things like fridges?
Yeah.
I mean, are fridges considered a sensitive item? Stoves, that sort of stuff?
No. Generally not. Fridges are fairly mechanically simple, though the latest generation modern fridges tend to have all sorts of electronic circuits in them. But the older fridges, and certainly any more less sophisticated ones without screens on the front and all the rest, tend to be very robust. The mechanics, the electronics are pretty strong. Again, microwaves, worth having a power surge plug on them as well to stop surges. You can also get power surge strips. So, for example, you know those the main strips with 5 or 6 power plugs on them?
Mm.
You can get versions with power surge built in. And again, that's pretty useful for a whole batch of electronic equipment that happens to be behind your TV. And again, it's worth keeping your cell phones and other little, you know, these little tiny chargers that you have. They can't handle surges terribly well. Generally, it won't damage your phone, but it can take out the little charger. So it's not a pretty picture, unfortunately. Electronics were never designed for this type of business, for this type of nonsense. So stay awake, stay aware. And the other thing you can actually do is keep an LED lamp or a couple of LED lamps in the home, because one, they draw very little current. You can put them on a battery, or you can just simply load them up with some batteries. And LED lights across the house can certainly keep you going for a long period. So there are lots of ways to mitigate it. There's no ways to avoid it unless you want to spend a ton of money on a solar system on the roof, which, interestingly enough, I don't know if a lot of businesses know, it's tax deduction. You can deduct the cost of putting solar to run your business. So all you businesses listening out there, go check it out. It's a 22B deduction, which you can actually, as long as you're making some profits, which is another thing in this market, you can actually deduct the cost of solar power from your business. So there are ways to get around this, but it's certainly not a comfortable situation. So stay warm, stay lit up. What can I say? It's just a challenging phase at the moment.
Now, also on the cell phone issue, Stephen, I heard you, I think it was on your show, giving, I think it could be classified as a rant. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, it was fully a rant. I'm sorry. I apologize. I got super, super excited about this. It's crazy.
About the issue of data and the latest competition commission. I have to say, although you had a rant, Stephen, there's another guy, whose name has now gone out of my head. He works for Vestorak, and he does a lot of.
Oh no, he had a proper rant with like F-bombs everywhere.
Yeah, it was
good fun.
If you can find that clip and you can deal with like problematic language, it was actually very funny, I have to say.
Well, let's put it this way. In summary, our electricity system is broken, as we know. The water system is broken. PRASA is in administration. There's a huge history of getting everything wrong. What is not broken in the country is the mobile networks. They give you world-class. This is what amazed me. I'm looking at the final report right now. It's exceedingly comprehensive, but that's not the problem. I must say, they did an insane job of collecting the data across the world, across the country, across the continent, of the pricing and the structure of the mobile network. What they left out are three major things. First and foremost, the networks spend between 300 and 500 million rand a year replacing batteries in their towers, which they only need because of Eskom. That sort of stuff's not factored in. The cost of vandalism, where people steal these batteries, destroy the towers, destroy the equipment and the boxes and everything, are not counted in. Second of all, the whole spectrum issue is touched on and glossed over, as if it makes no difference. South African networks have the lowest spectrum allocation of every network in Africa, with the highest number of subscribers. So it's not a simple system. But the final conclusions, no one doubts that data must fall. No one. Everyone agrees the price of data is too high, it should come down. Even the networks agree the price of data is too high and it should come down. But they seem to have ignored the simple fact that there are extenuating circumstances outside of the control of the networks that are causing these high data prices. So on balance, I think they've made interventions that no market economy can have. And I expect it's gone very quiet, but I expect lawyers to be having an absolute ball in the next 2 to 3 weeks. We're going to see massive, massive kickback from the networks. They cannot allow this finding to stand. They cannot allow the type of interventions into their networks. And our constitution and our so-called liberal attitude towards commercial entities such as Vodacom and MTN also cannot remain unchallenged. So there's going to be no major data falls. I think there's going to be some cleanup in the next couple of months in terms of how they offer data to their customers. But until spectrum is given, until the whole system is cleaned up in a way that makes commercial sense, I can foresee lots of court cases and lots of behind-the-scenes negotiations, because this is without question one of the worst interventions in the market economy that our government has actually got involved in. And it just makes zero sense to do this to companies that, one, pay tons of tax, two, employ tons of people, and three, actually offer a service that is world-class, literally way ahead of anything else in Africa, and almost as good, if not better. I mean, I've been to many countries around the world. We make India look stupid in terms of just quality. We're better than most places in Germany, which is remarkable. And certainly in the major cities in England, our indoor coverage and our general coverage of 4G is excellent. So, you know, it's easy to knock the big boys, but I think the government should look towards their own issues before they start destroying, you know, networks and systems and platforms that quite honestly are rendering a service that none of us can do without. In fact, right now in our load shedding age, the mobile phone is a godsend. It's an absolute lifesaver in many, many cases.
Can I just ask about the price aspect, Stephen, quickly? Because, you know, you do get this thing about people moaning about the price of data and is it cheaper overseas and whatever. And I understand the extenuating circumstances. I'm not dismissing that at all. Mm. But where do we actually sit sort of internationally for the price middle. That we pay in data?
In the middle. Every study that's been done, including ICASA's studies, show that we sit in the middle. We're not the most expensive in the world. We're certainly not the cheapest in the world, but we're a mid-level player in data pricing. What, and I agree with the Competition Commission, and what people actually miss is the following. If you cannot afford the data, no matter what the price is, and you have no income, and you need to pay for food and housing, it doesn't matter what the price of data is. It'll be too expensive for you. So the idea of giving people a sort of minimum free data allowance, like you give them a minimum free water allowance, is very compelling in a socialistic type system where the government is paternalistically looking after the people. But unfortunately, it does not work like that in a world where you actually have to pay for goods and services. MTN, Vodacom, Cell C, Telkom have to actually pay for these services. They have to pay networks in US dollars, and our rand has performed terribly. They have to pay people to maintain these networks, and it's an entire economy that has to be maintained, and at the end of the day, they actually need to make some profits. Otherwise, how do they invest them? So our data is not terribly expensive. The one thing that I agree in that they need to do is clean up the bottom end. The fact that prepaid data uncapped is a meg is horrendous. It should never be. They counter by saying, well, they give you fabulous bundles, and if you stick with the bundles and you follow the promotions they have, the effective cost of data is like 15 cents or 12 cents a meg. But that's nonsense. People shouldn't have to jump through hoops and play games to just get access to data. So I do believe in the next little while we're going to see the bottom end clean up, as I said. In other words, a gig of data will be a gig of data. A meg of data will be a meg of data. It'll be a couple of cents. No one complains about paying less for much more data. So if you go and buy in bulk, you'll get a better price. But the differential is too high, and it's too complicated for the average guy. I couldn't be bothered to figure out how to scam the system in order to pay less for data. So I think the networks have made it needlessly complicated. They're not entirely blameless in this whole mess. But instead of coming up with commercially viable and commercially sensible solutions on a cooperative basis, the government has actually, or the Competition Commission via the government via the Competition Commission, has been exceedingly populist and exceedingly interventionist. And in fact, if they want to control the wholesale price and the retail price, why don't they just take over the networks and run them like Eskom? Oh, no, maybe that's not such a good idea. So that's where we are. We're in a market economy. We're in an economy where it shouldn't be illegal or bad to make a profit. But the Competition Commission's remit is to find gross competitive issues. And that doesn't exist here. There were lots of regulatory ways to take care of this problem in an effective manner while the government focused on growing the economy or making it possible for you and I and every other citizen to grow the economy so that affordability is not a problem, that every person can afford $100 a month to pay for data, however much data that may be.
Fantastic. So Stephen, sorry, we're just going to have to leave it
not
there.
No problem. I'm ranting again. I apologize.
Not an issue. Stephen Ambrose there talking to us about data. And now let's...